listener production.
Oh, hello and welcome to a big episode of the Jock and Journo podcast. It is preliminary final weekend, one of the best weekends of the year, let's be honest. Some people like the grand final weekend. I think this is almost more significant in a sense. We'll get to that in a second. It's Jay Clark here and a man fresh off a trip to the Day Springs. I saw him pampering himself in his own Instagram. Hello, Scott Pendlebury.
Hello, mate. How are you? Yeah, I went down to Alba Hot Springs on Saturday.
Who enjoys that more, you or your wife? I saw you getting around in your robe.
Yeah, it was me. Yeah, I pushed to get down there. So I was, it was awesome, nice and relaxing, and bathed myself for a while, and then we shot back up to Melbourne. So I was nice and relaxing instead of getting beaten up for the weekend on the footy field. It just, a bit of self-care goes a long way.
So does it feel like, you know, do you feel like you're running on top of the ground again? Do you feel like you've had a little freshen up?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is it a positive thing to have the weekend?
At my age, it's certainly a positive thing. It's, I feel completely fresh, ready to go. Three or four great training sessions together in a row. So now it's, now we're looking forward to it. It felt good on Saturday night to get a target, though, to play against, because you're sort of sitting in no man's land for a little bit wondering what's going to happen. And, now we've got a target and something to prepare for, so we'll lock in and get to work.
Like a good grandpa, you need your pipe and slippers and a comfy chair, and that's how I picture you across the weekend, just resting up. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about some amazing preliminary final memories. You've had some absolute crackers in your time. I think of the Luke Ball game. Think of the Mason Cox game. And GWS, have you guys got some beef with the Giants? Because they did you cold. They upset you 2019 in the wet. I remember it, sitting on the boundary line in pouring rain all afternoon. You had, I think, 20 inside 50s or thereabouts in the last quarter and still lost. So is the GWS...
No, I think it's, and we'll talk about this later, but just any prelim final that you lose, they're hard to swallow just because you know what's on the line. And that's why finals footy is the best, because there's just so much every week that you play for. And, you see first week of finals when sides get eliminated, players drop to the ground, head in the hands, because you know that's it. Like you've all that hard work and essentially that's it. The door shuts on your season. So, I've played in, three or four prelims that I've lost by under a goal. So, they're tough to swallow. But
do they hurt more than the grand final loss? Because I would imagine getting to the grand final is a huge reward and prize. I know it hurts you lose, but I reckon it would hurt more not getting to the grand final. Did the prelim finals losses sting you more than 2008?
Yeah, I know what you mean. In some sense they do, because you sort of would love to just get to the grand final and see how you would have gone. I know even last year, for example, losing to the Swans by a point, and then you sit there a week later thinking, this could be us. Because especially if you lose by a point, you're like, geez, give us 30 more seconds or a minute or whatever. Like, they're sort of flip a coin. And, so they hurt a bit just because you're so close, but that's it. Like, it's just so sudden too when you finish. Like, it's, you're preparing to train, all this sort of stuff. Then it's like game over, done. Like, I'll see you in January.
Yeah.
So, they do hurt. And, and then even, losing a grand final, they hurt as well. But, the prelims, just because you're so close to actually getting, like, everyone wants to get to the grand final. So losing those ones, knowing how close you've been, they do hurt a fair bit.
Do you remember 2019, what happened in the last quarter? Remember how you had all the play?
Yeah.
The ball was down your forward line. Brody Grundy had 95 hit-outs or whatever it was.
Yeah,
I remember. And you couldn't capitalise.
Yeah, I remember we just, it's one of those days where, it was tough conditions. It was a real, almost like that winter's finals game. I think they beat us by 4 points in the end.
Yep.
It was like 56 to 52 or something like that.
And Zach Williams played the game of his life. Toby Green didn't even play.
Yeah, he was standing in the race. It's almost like a double-edged sword. Like, I always feel proud of the effort whenever we play. Like, because I know we left it all out there. We weren't trying to lose. And, I think we were a fair way down too. Not a fair way down, but like three or four goals, and we made a big charge. Joshy Thomas kicked a goal, and we got right back in the game.
Yeah.
So super proud of that. And then, just couldn't get it done. And as I said, I think my first prelim we lost by 5 points in 07 to the Cats.
Oh, yes. So take me back there, because the Cats were a champion side. They were cherry ripe. And you were sort of more on the rise. I remember that, correct?
Yeah. So the 2006 Sydney West Coast were the two years in a row, the grand final. So the first final of 2007, we had a bit of a theme of the underdogs.
Yeah.
No one gave us a chance. So we played Sydney in the first final in Melbourne.
Was it Mick Frothing?
Yeah. It was like Sydney, they just lost the flag the year before. They'd won it 2 years earlier. So Mick had us all so revved up about no one rates us, and then we come out and we beat Sydney.
Backs to the wall.
Yeah, and then we went over to West Coast and we played them, and that was the one where Cousins didn't play, Judd didn't play, Kerr played.
Was that the extra time game?
The extra time game. So we played over there, and much similar, like no one gave us a chance to win that one.
You kicked the big goal late.
Yeah, I kicked one in the extra time period. So, and Swanee kicked the next one, I think, as well, and we won by, I think two goals in the extra time, and then we,
finally, on the road against the champs.
Yeah, so we just knocked off the two last reigning premiers.
Yep. Feeling pretty good about yourselves.
Yeah, so then you come up, and we were young, like we were a young group.
You and Daisy.
Me, Daisy, yep. Travis Cloak, like Alan Tuvey.
Kids.
Kid Marty Clark, the Irishman.
You were 20.
Yes, I was 20 at the time. And then, so we had that, and then we played Geelong in the 07, and all week, the All-Australian side got announced that week, and they had like 11 guys or 15 guys in the squad.
Enright, Ling, Ablett, Bartel, Corey. Yeah.
So it was the lead up to that game was really, like, for me, it was an eye-opener of just the motivation and the mental warfare that goes on. And Mick had them as like the All-Australian side versus the rest type thing when we played. So
he was calling them the All-Australian
side. They were the All-Australian side, and we were the side. We were the side no one rated. We don't have good players. None of, like, I don't think we had anyone in the All-Australian squad.
Really?
Of 40.
Nick Maxwell, maybe?
No, not definitely even. Not. that was 2007. Maxie, I think, made in 2010. But
right.
Yeah, so it was all, all about how good they were, how crap we were. Yeah. We shouldn't be there. They've already won the grand final.
So he was winding you up all week like that.
And because nobody would have given us any chance.
Yeah.
And we lost that game by 5 points, and we had moments too.
Was that
where
the Brad Ottens game? Did he have a big game in the ruck?
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like he had a few massive ones in the
ruck. Against you. Yeah.
So, yeah. And I remember, it's just the ball might have been on our half forward flank or got really close, and the siren went. Scotty Burns had it. And so that's when I've said this before on the show, that I'm really grateful and appreciative of the fact that I've got to play in these games like from the get-go. Mm. So I'm not surprised by how much they mean, how hard they are to win, and finals footy. Like my earliest memories of finals was I was a massive Melbourne supporter growing up.
Mm.
It was 2000 prelim, Melbourne, North Melbourne. Nobody gave Melbourne, like, it was supposed to be North Essendon the final week in the granny.
Yeah.
Jeff Farmer comes out, kicks 8 goals.
Sat on heads.
Stephen Powell kicked 4 goals too, had 33 touches.
Stephen Powell.
Scholl for North kicked 7 straight. Like, it was 100. I was just looking at the scores before, 156 to 106 in a prelim final.
Wow.
Shows you how much footy's changed since then. But the finals and the prelim crowds are just insane.
I reckon the game at the weekend, the Carlton win over Melbourne, is the loudest MCG crowd I've ever heard. I reckon there was the Richmond-Carlton sort of elimination final about it. That was really loud. I reckon that the Carlton crowd against Melbourne at the weekend was absolutely unbelievable, like unforgettable, like shaking. The joint was shaking. Like, they put my hands over my ears at one point, Scott. That's how loud it was. My favourite memory would be the Lee Tudor kick, the hand of God, Lee Tudor over the top to Gary Ablett. I think he'd been quiet all day. 94 prelim. Young Cat supporter. Ablett reaches out over Mick Martin, and you see he was absolutely devastated at the top of the square. What about the game? Do you remember, I think, was it 2010 when you had the mix, the frontal press?
Yeah.
And then you took on the Cats.
Yeah, 2010.
Ablett's last year, and you're up 7 or 8 goals to one at quarter time. Yeah. And I think the Collingwood chant, Collingwood.
Started about the 25-minute mark of the first.
Of quarter time. What were your recollections there? Because they were playing the daring runoff halfback.
Yeah.
And you guys punched them in the mouth with the frontal press.
I remember that game. It was sort of another one too where we weren't – it was Kenton Collingwood, like, been good all year, but this is the test. They're going to play against the seasoned Harden Cats who won the year before. Mm. They won in 07. They've been here. They've done that. The Pies.
Mm.
And I remember Mick and all the coaches just had us so ready to go. Like, we won the first final against the Bulldogs, so we had the week off.
Yep.
Yeah, and we were just ready. Like, and we just knew straight away that they were going to flick it around. And it was just come forward at all costs and just absolutely, if there's a handball chain and you see it, just go get it, hit. I remember Daisy tackling Maddie Scarlett coming out of the back line. And it was hectic, that game. That first quarter, it's almost like your dream scenario. Everything we planned for just went our way in that first quarter. And Like Gary Ablett's the best player that I've played against and the best player of the last 20 years in my eyes.
Consistently,
and I sort of knew that we had them rattled when early in the first quarter he sort of got the ball in the back line, didn't know what to do,
hesitated
and then just booted it out straight back to us.
Yep.
And there was no one for Geelong there. And I thought the pressure's rattled. Up. The pressure. If he can't find something and get through us, I know our pressure's up. And
you're on.
I think that game was curtains at quarter time. We were 40-something points up, and it just stayed that way for the rest of the night.
Must be an incredible – that must be such a bulletproof feeling when you're in a preliminary final, everything's on the line, and the plan comes off, and you've got them rattled. Like, do you have an emotional reaction in that?
You just feel so locked in and – like, because everything's working, so it fuels your fire, so to speak. So, you know, you're coming forward, you're pressuring, you're using each other going forward, you're finding the best shot at goal, like all those little things, and then it just gets so contagious. And then you can see them get a little bit deflated, like, geez, they're on here, and just that momentum. And when you get it in finals, you've got to capitalise. And as we've seen in this final series, got to kick straight, and we kicked straight that night when we had all that momentum. I think we kicked 7 or 8 goals, 2 points or something in the first quarter to put the game to bed.
But it is cool watching from a fan's perspective, and you see your team so locked in when they are so cohesive, so much symmetry, and you are on in that, and you know, the hunt and the camaraderie, that is a pretty special feeling, even from the fans to, you know, looking down from above. And that was certainly a good case. What about, do you remember... how could you forget the Mason Cox game? 2018 versus Richmond. You guys were the underdog again in that one.
Yeah.
Richmond were the team of the time.
Yeah.
And then my recollections of that, right, I was sitting on the couch with my family and on the edge of my seat, and you guys kept lobbing to Coxie like 25 metres out from goal. Like Rancey and Broad and these Dylan Grimes.
Yep.
Would drop off to the square, waiting for the long pass to Cox in the square. He did that little 20-meter lead, and you would lob it like a little sandwich. And they just weren't onto it early. He goes out, has the game of his life. You take the you get the jump early and win a game no one expected you to. Was the Cox lob? No. How planned is
it? Yeah, it wasn't planned.
You were the one doing it.
Yeah, but it was more same sort of thing. We went into that game. Big underdogs, and rightfully so. Like, Richmond had an amazing season, and I think they'd only lost. I don't think they'd lost at the MCG that year
until they
played us.
They were on.
Yeah, and they were hot. And I remember the whole game playing against them, you're nervous that at some stage they're going to make a run.
Click.
So even at the start when we got going, you know, Geordie took a good one-handed mark and kicked a goal, and we're on top, and then Coxie, I think it was the second quarter or whatever, just went absolutely bananas, just marked everything, kicked straight. In terms of that sort of stuff, I think that just happens sometimes in finals where there's just a connection, something happens, and then we almost try and make a story of it. Oh, they did this little tactic and they brought it out just for finals and they kept up their backside. It's like, I remember like the forwards were working together, blocking, and then, Mason always just says, like, if I lead, just put it on someone's head in front of me so I can just get a run and jump on that person. And I remember he took a run and jump on Trent Cotchin because Koch was sitting in the hole. So it's like, well, he was a target. Just put it on his head, let Coxie run. Because forwards don't want it to be on their head.
No.
So everyone runs and jumps on his. And
correct.
Yeah, and then Mason's had a few. I was talking about this yesterday.
Blinders.
He's had a few finals games where
Coxie was talking about how good he was in the QB games.
This is Mason talking to me about it. No, but he has, like, the West Coast one in the hub when we went over there. And he kicked the first 3 goals of the game, and then had a hand in a couple of others. And he's always had big moments in big games, Mason. I think it's sort of underrated how good his resume is in big finals. So that 2018 one. And then, you know, I remember Brody sort of put the sealer on that. He got that, grabbed it out of the stoppage and just kicked a goal and run in. But until then, like, that third quarter, they made a bit of a charge and got it back to about 30 points. And playing against them in that era when they were 30 points behind felt like you were like 3 or 4 points up.
Really?
Because it happened so quickly sometimes against Richmond, and you just had to stay locked in the whole night. And when that siren went, that was when I was like, yes, we've done it. Like, because until then, you just felt on the edge of your seat.
I love winding back the clock with these sorts of things. It is going to be on this weekend, mate. People are talking about GWS, and them also playing a similar style to you guys, the Orange Tsunami, the run, the flair, they're direct, they're quick, they're aggressive off halfback, and they've got the playmakers, Kelly, Whitfield, et cetera. Do you see the similarities?
Similarities. I think you only have to look where both coaches have come from, don't you? Like, they've both Kingsley, Richmond, McRae, Richmond. So there's similarities with how we both play, and there's differences with how we both play as well in certain aspects. So, and they're not too dissimilar to the sort of run we had last year in terms of what they had. Like we were 4-5, they were 3-7.
Got hot.
Yeah, and then but you still they are still learning, and we're still learning about how we do it, how you play, and they've sort of clicked into gear about the halfway mark, and you can see they've got confidence in the way they want to play. And yeah, watching them on the weekend, they were so explosive in that second quarter around clearance, just kept getting the ball forward. And
how much you respect that?
Yeah.
Well, weapons.
Yeah, they've really got weapons everywhere. They always have, the Giants, haven't they? Like, there's talent on every line. There's guys come in and play role, and their pressure's really good. So you don't get to a prelim by accident.
No.
So we know it's going to be on for young and old, and we embrace that. We look forward to it, and can't wait to get stuck in on Friday.
We're going to get to Nick Dacos. He's a huge story. Tay Adams, heartbreak. Braden Maynard in a second. There's obviously been a bit going in the Collingwood camp, as there usually is, Scott, over the past week or so. But do you know what this game delivers on Friday night? And I'm so glad. It was probably always going to be a Friday night, but I'll be there. Cannot wait for it. The joint's going to be off its head again.
95,000? Is that what it delivers?
It's going to start with a 9. This weekend's going to deliver my favourite football matchup of the year.
Braden
Maynard.
We had him in here a couple of weeks ago.
Talking about his battles with Toby Green.
Yeah.
And how they clearly lift for one another.
Yeah.
There's clearly an enormous amount of respect. They lift, and it is so physical and combative. Every aerial contest, their lives are on the line.
Yeah.
And it's my favourite matchup of the year. Having Braden now, I watched all 4 hours of the Tribunal, by the way, in my kitchen. People say they should televise the AFL Tribunal. No, they shouldn't. Yeah. No, they shouldn't. It's shocking. It is shocking. But what's it going to be like, him running out?
Oh, it's a great result when it happened for us to know that he's there. He's such an integral part of the vibe and the fabric of our group.
Would have weighed on him heavily.
I'm glad that Braden... the outcome happened that it did. But, yeah, he said, like, it was, hectic times there for a few days. And, he was really relieved. I think he said he had, like, a stress ball in the tribunal and stuff like that. So, yeah, and then in terms of the matchup, I think the thing that gets lost a little bit in that is you have a look at the size of both of these boys. They're 6'3", 92, 93 kilos. You like to throw their body around. That's why it's so good to watch. So, yeah, well, there'll be parts of the game where they match up on each other. There'll be parts of the game where it doesn't work out that way. But, I think that's the fun thing about finals. You look everywhere and there's just good matchups everywhere across the board. So it's certainly going to be exciting.
Did he pull the right rein going round to Angus Brayshaw's house with a bottle of wine, flowers and chocolates, do you think?
Well,
did
he need to do that? They're Sandy teammates.
Hampton Rovers.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's Braden's call to make if he does that. And then... I think it got blown out of proportion what actually happened. It was frosty or whatever. I don't know.
Flowers didn't make it.
Yeah, so I think, whatever it was there. And then Max Gorn came out and said he actually put the flowers in the vase or something. So completely Braden's call. And that's, and we had him on the show. There's the two sides. There's the footballer, Braden, who's white line. And then off field, he's a thinker, he's a carer, he's a lover. And Brayshaw was one of his mates. So,
If you haven't caught the Braden Maynard episode of the Jock and Jerno show, it is there. Give it a listen. It's a beauty. He's a beauty. And it'll be great to see him out there this weekend. We're going to come back and speak about Nick Dacos. What a massive addition he is. I'm going to ask you what he's been like. How annoying has he been this week? He would have been right up on his toes, or
every
maybe
week.
For the past 2 weeks. And if you do feel like a little refresh, a little pamper session, head down to Alba Hot Springs. Mention Scott's name. Be Scott Pendlebury 20. Get a little discount code or something. He'll have some sort of connection there, but it is nice that the great man is fresh and ready for the massive preliminary final on Friday night. This is the Jock and Jerno show. We'll be back in one moment. Yes, welcome back to the Jock and Jerno podcast. I want to say a big thank you to our amazing producer, Tommy Dullard, who does an extraordinary job, and Ethan Meldrum, who does an incredible job with our socials. Thank you, guys. Right, we're going to talk about Nick Dacos in 1 second. Hey, I want to ask you a question, Scott. Are September scars a real thing? I've been spending the whole week talking about Melbourne, the second straight sets exit, and spoke to Jake Lever after the game. He was quite emotional, and I don't know whether sometimes players say things in the moment, and I don't know whether they'd say the same thing 2 or 3, 4 days later, right?
Yeah.
And he sort of said, well, you know, this could either make us or it could really haunt us, the second straight finals exit, having all the opportunities and not executing, right? Is it, can you be scarred by a finals loss or an agonising loss? You think about some of your biggest losses over your career, over 924 games. How do you overcome them, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't have final scars or anything like that. I've got like memories, good ones, bad ones. But my thing is like, what's the alternate? Not put yourself there because it hurts.
Mm.
Like it's gonna hurt. Like you're not just gonna go make finals 3 years, win three grand finals, and then just not make finals. Like it hurts.
Yeah,
being there. But the worst years of my footy career have been the years I haven't played finals.
Yeah.
You might have been finished in round 21 because you knew you weren't going to make it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you're playing the kids and you're playing different positions and it's just for nothing.
Yeah. Like,
that to me is that hurt more than, you know, losing last year than by a point, because, you know, I'm happy to put it all on the line every time.
Yeah.
To chase the ultimate success.
Yeah.
You know, I've, like,
be so brave enough to put yourself in the arena.
Absolutely. Be the man in the arena, not the one sitting there watching the man in the arena. Sort of my, like, that's the thing. It's just like I happily put myself out there every time because you're going to hurt or you're going to feel the ultimate success and that pride and joy. And you're not feeling it though if you finish at round 22. There's no alternate. Like, you've got to be in it to win it. So
your advice to Melbourne and Port Adelaide who have just gone out in straight sets is go again.
Yeah, well, I think you got it. It's the playing group that makes the decision. It's not the coaches and how you do this and who you can bring in. There's not a missing, you know, like I always hear that, the missing piece. They need to go get the war chest and spend it on this guy or whatever. It's you can almost tell how they're going to go by how they rock up day one of preseason.
Mm.
Like, are they hungry? Did they all do what they needed to do? Or did they just think, this is all too hard? Because it is. It's hard work. It's a lot of hard work because they're done now. And you can't get this back, but they have to front up again in December 1 or whenever they're back in shape. You got to do all the work and there's no guarantees that you get back there.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said,
so you got to stay hungry.
The alternative is don't do the work.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you won't get back there.
Finish 15th.
Yeah. And then, you know, you can go to Europe in September and put up some cool gram photos of you at the Coliseum and all this sort of stuff, living the best life.
But Ibiza.
I'm telling you, the ultimate is being in it. And the position that the four sides find themselves in now, and I'm fortunate enough to be part of one, is we're still chasing the dream. And living it and the prep and all that sort of stuff. And Melbourne have gone out straight sets 2 years in a row, is it?
Yep.
Like, to me, though, they're putting themselves in the arena.
Yeah.
I know it hurts losing, but they would be of the belief that they should have won two finals games.
Yeah.
Kick straight, we win, whatever it is. So they're Brisbane Lions, for example, they've lost a few final series, but now they've got a home prelim. Like, they keep putting themselves in the arena. It doesn't just happen. Like, I'd love to be sitting here like a, you know, like the Richmond boys. I think they played their first final series was 17. They didn't make it in 16. Go all the way, 17. 18, it hurt. Then look how they bounce back. 19, they get it done. Yeah. 20, they get it done. Like, keep putting yourself in the arena, keep turning up, and just give yourself a chance.
I wonder whether Melbourne can almost be a Hawthorn. Remember Hawthorn 2008 won, and then 9 partied, Hodgie said. Partied too hard 2009, didn't get in the finals 2010. I don't think they lost the final against Freo in Perth, or they're in the West.
Yep.
So they had that 2 years of failure, and then I think made their way back, and we know 12, 13, 14, 15. So I wonder that.
Well, Melbourne first try got it done, didn't they? Like, well, no, they were there in 18, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
18, and then they had a few years out. So 18, they got smacked by West Coast in the prelim over there. Yeah,
beat Geelong the week before.
19, 20, I don't think they made it. And then 21, they went. So there was that prior pain in 18.
Yeah.
And then they might have responded, like, you almost could argue that's worse, not making the final after getting so close. They missed the finals for 2 years.
Yeah.
Now they're putting themselves in the arena. And that's all you can do.
Do the two COVID flags in your mind count as much as the other ones? Or is there an asterisk on the Richmond 2020, Melbourne 2021 COVID? Is there an asterisk on those two?
Absolutely not. Like, they were hard flags to win because, like, there was so much going against every side and, like, the whole world stopped and living in weird circumstances and all that sort of stuff. So if they want to offer them to us, we'll take them. But
People do. You have that conversation at the pub with people and they go, oh, that was a COVID flag.
Well, I think everyone that didn't play finals that year, they sort of just write it off. Oh, it's a tough year for us because COVID. But the sides you go on and win it.
West Coast cracked it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Yeah, tough times, as everyone knows.
Your man, Nicky Dacos. What's he been like in the Inner Sanctum this week? He's going to play. His leg is good.
Not just this week.
He's been training, yeah. Buzzing around like a mosquito, I can imagine.
Yeah, I think ever since it happened, he's just done everything in his power to get himself right. And obviously the ultimate sort of timeline for Nick was play the first final. If we could win, it just gave him the perfect prep. It didn't have to rush anything.
Yep.
Time was on his side. So, yeah, I know after that Melbourne game, he was as excited as anyone that, you know, he didn't have to rush it. He didn't have to, like, take three or four steps really quickly. He's had a really good prep. And we had a little intra-club the other night on Friday before the Carlton-Melbourne game, and he was playing it. Yeah, he's just flying around like normal and
did look
had
good.
The ball in the hand like normal all the time. And it'd be nice if he shared it around a little bit. But, yeah, it's great. It's great to have him back. And, yeah, he's such a generator for us of enthusiasm, excitement. Yeah, and it's not often this time of year you get – your best player back into your side that hasn't been there for a few weeks. So
is it a group? Is it a mood lifter? I know.
Oh,
you,
absolutely.
I know you.
Not just because of the player he is. Obviously, he's a fantastic player, but he gives so much energy and excitement, and the way he plays is so fun. Like, it's run, it's dare, it's exciting, it's risk taking. Like, that all is good to play with. It's not just like, how cool, he's so good at footy. It's like he gives energy to everyone. He loves it. Like, he's been the change rooms. He's walking around with the footy, like, just pot shotting everyone, like, kicking at bins and doors and all that sort of stuff. So, it's great. And yeah, it's never nice when you see it taken away from like just anyone in general, like long term injury lists. I mean, injuries or short term, whatever. Like, when they lose. They can't just get out. Like, he's loved just being back in training.
Yep.
Like, that's the stuff you miss the most. And then game day is just where he goes and does what he does.
Carries himself unbelievably well. I've said it before, but he's an absolute beauty. Nicky Dacos, such a polite and grounded young man. Wish him the absolute best. On the flip side of this coin, Scott, there is absolute heartbreak for a mate, for a bloke you played with for a long time now, Taylor Adams. So you talk about the match sim.
Yeah.
He cops the knock and strains his hamstring, goes straight into the rooms. You go down the club, you see him, and you say,
"Oh, I just gave him a hug. Just said, I'm like feeling for you. Anything I can do in the next 48 hours, week, whatever." Yeah, and then, you know, but...
Was he devastated?
Yeah, he's devastated because he's going to miss out on a prelim, but the carrot's still there for him to get up for, if we can, lucky enough to get up and win, there's a carrot there for him that if he can, it goes all his way and ticks the boxes, that he can be part of a grand final. So yeah, he didn't dwell on it too long. He was back in the club the next day swimming.
Mm.
He was running around the track yesterday, getting some conditioning in.
We were all giving him a high five. Was it uplifting to see you all giving him a high five?
Yeah, he ran past us. And
was that uplifting?
I think his
moment?
Speed went above where it should have, because he got a nice little kick. Yeah, it's great. Just seeing him back, as I said, like on the track with the boys, happy. That's when you feel the most comfortable, when you're amongst the group and you feel part of it, because rehab is I haven't spent much time in there, but it's a pretty lonely place because you're in there for long hours and you're doing all those things when you just want to be part of the group. So, and he's given so much to our club over so long. So, yeah, you definitely feel for him, but he's doing everything in his power to make sure that we can get up this week.
Been very selfless in his forward role, Tay Adams. Missed last year's finals with that groin, which was pretty significant.
Yeah, he said off the bone in that second quarter.
He said in January there was a moment where he thought he was done. He thought his whole career was over. He just couldn't keep going.
Yeah.
But
he's rebounded really well, like, from that. Because that was
he has.
That's like an adductor off the bone. I heard him scream when it happened.
Really?
Like, and it was
painful.
Yeah. I felt sore, so.
He has done a lot of work to get back to this, so it is heartbreaking for him and any athlete. And in the he's good on the big stage. Remember, go back to 2018, the grand final. He was your best player.
Yeah.
Second in the Norm Smith medal,
and he's been all finals, really. He's a proven finals record. So, he'll be sorely missed.
What are the next few days like for you? Have you done the bulk of your work out of the way? You had your main session.
Yeah.
What happens now?
So, done pretty much the bulk of the work. So now it's just...
So it was main session Monday?
Main session yesterday it was, And then last Friday, another, big main session. So, now it's just sort of normal prep leading into the game, freshen up.
Back down to the hot springs or not?
No, not back down there.
Okay.
Just make sure our prep's good, understand what we've got coming, understand how we take away their strengths, maximise our strengths, all the same sort of stuff that we do, which is... really boring, but
and
the process.
You having played 900 games, Scott, this won't last forever for you now, right? There is a finality to your career, right?
There is.
I know you could be the next boomer and played, genuinely break the AFL games record, which wouldn't put it past you. But is there, do you get to this point, and is there an extra sense of reflection in the sense that there are no guarantees you are going to be back on the preliminary final stage? I know you've already played eight, but do you get like, do you take that moment to go?
Yeah, it's not reflection yet. Like, I definitely appreciate it and I'm grateful for the opportunity because 2 years ago we were second bottom on the ladder.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, but having like the attitude I've got is like anything's always possible. So, because I feel like if I didn't have that when, you know, Bucks left and that, I would have been like, oh, there's no way our list isn't where it needs to be. We're going to develop and we're not going to get there. Like, you can have that negative or you can have just sort of that, don't put a sort of ceiling on what you can achieve. So I've like last year finals, this year finals, like just taking it all in, enjoying it, having fun. That's probably the main thing, just enjoying these games. And as you said, I know that, you know, I don't have long left in the game. So just really enjoying them, taking it all in, bringing my family along for the ride, all that sort of stuff. Because when you're younger, you just think it's going to happen all the time.
Which you have played in a lot, which is very successful.
Yeah. So I'm, but I just still appreciate the moments, get out of there. But then I understand once that siren sounds, I've got a job to do and just go out there and try and execute my role the best I can for our side. And then hopefully we get the job done.
All right, Scotty, that is a nice little warm up to Friday night's preliminary final. You take on the GWS Giants, who are riding some sort of wave of momentum. You're packed out MCG. Collingwood fans will be in full voice. It has been great to take a little walk down memory road.
Loved it.
Enjoy the game, mate. Absolutely all the best. We will see you at the footy. Have a great week and enjoy the best weekend of the year.
Thank you.
Bye for now. Listener.